Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 29th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our 2 of 2 and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, for a moral people to demand the checks and balances put in place by our founders, and to restore the republic, ladies and gentlemen. We don't need revolution. We need restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Pure application of the principles that made America great can do it again. Are you aboard to help? That's the question. Last hour, we had our guest on, Mr. Joel Gilbert, well-known film director, known for the film, among many, Dreams from My Real Father. Obama's real father.com, the website, obamasrealfather.com. And we're talking about all the interesting unknown details about Barack's life. Did you know in his book he said he loved jazz music and he learned to love or got an affinity for jazz music from his father? Oh, Frank Marshall Davis was well known as a jazz lover. That's just one little teeny tidbit that makes the point. Did Barack Hussein Obama have plastic surgery on his nose and mouth? Oh, you can't find that out, ladies and gentlemen. That's top secret, man. That's classified, huh? All right. Well, the narrative goes on. We're talking to Joel Gilbert now. He's riding shotgun today and providing incredible commentary about his research and about the research of others and all that he's managed to discover. The book, Dreams from My Father by Barack Obama, first referred to Marshall Davis a lot. But then future updates or versions that have come out of the book, the audio version in particular, doesn't even highlight Frank Marshall Davis as a mentor, really, at all. Right when Barack became well-known, Jeremiah Wright surfaced, but yet we haven't heard a word about that since. The ties to Acorn, everything seems to be minimized for an agenda. We thought the truth could come out via the press, especially the conservative new media taking center stage, but most of those folks seem to be afraid. I don't know if they're afraid or they don't believe in freedom above fortune. Joel Gilbert, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Great to be back with you.
Do you think they're afraid, or do you think it's fortune above freedom for these people?
Look, I think it's a combination. I think Fox News did have some very hard-hitting shows on Obama's background, especially with Glenn Beck. And as he recounted the history that Media Matters and the leftists went after their advertisers, and one by one, the advertisers were afraid to be on the Glenn Beck show. It got to the point where they couldn't sell advertising. They had to let him go. So that was a very traumatic experience, I think, for Fox News. And they decided that, look, we're number one. We're making a lot of money off of conservatives. Let's just only go so far as not to put our advertising in jeopardy. That's what I think happened to Fox News, and that's why they're afraid to cover Obama's background. Newsmax, there's no excuse. You know, they're supposed to be a conservative media outlet, but they were afraid to talk about Obama's background. There is a a hit squad, starting with Media Matters and NBC, all these leftist news outlets.
Yeah, Right Wing Watch, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, they're ready to pounce, and they have paralyzed a lot of the conservative outlets that do rely on advertising. You wanted to mention something about Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah, hold on. Before we get to Jeremiah Wright, what about Chris Reddy? What does he have to say for himself, though? I'm disappointed in Chris.
Well, you may know that Chris is a contributor to the Clinton Foundation, hangs out with the Clintons.
There you go.
He's got a lot of issues that, you know, I think he's just another, media official conservative who's making money off of conservatives, but I don't think his sentiment is there.
The only one so far to really ride for the brand, as far as I can tell, is WorldNet Daily.
WorldNet Daily just reports it as they see it. They're unconcerned about, you know, who's attacking them or their advertisers. They just tell the truth. So their slogan is a free press for a free people, and I believe it.
They also say that they believe it's racist to change the narrative of a story based on race or protecting a race. In other words, the mainstream press would call it racist to report that. They would say it's racist not to report it based on the changing of reporting based on the people involved. I would agree with them in this narrative about Barack Obama's strange racial upbringing, the anger towards America, the anger towards all that we hold dear, really, and the divisive nature of the divide and conquer administration that he's really had kind of plays to that, right?
Well, it does. But again, you look at who his mentor was. Obama was radicalized in his youth. He was doing heavy drugs in his youth, a lot of marijuana, some cocaine, as he mentioned, and spending every day with a radical anti-white, anti-American, his real father, who he wanted to emulate and he admired. Now, when his father died in 1980, I don't have my calendar in front of it. His father died at 81 years old. That same year that his father died.
I think you're right. I think it was 87 or 88.
What?
I said, I think you're right. It was 87 or 88, though.
87 or 88. 87, Obama joins Reverend Wright's church. Now, surprise, surprise, Reverend Jeremiah Wright is the same guy as Frank Marshall Davis. Angry, anti-white, anti-American Marxist.
Now, let's be clear. When you say same guy, you're talking about another mentor for the same ideology, not really the same person, though. I just want to make that clear.
Literally, no, ideologically, it's right. The same guy. Now, Obama referred to Reverend Wright as his uncle. It really was a substitute father because Obama is comfortable with anti-American extremists, and they're comfortable with him because he's one of them.
All right, so now this Jeremiah Wright, though, continues this, I don't know if you want to say indoctrination, but continues with this. It's almost as if you got to stay with them to keep drinking the Kool-Aid, huh?
Yeah, you see, Obama didn't just show up at Reverend Wright's church, you know, at age 25 and suddenly become indoctrinated. Obama came to Reverend Wright because Obama was a radical and he was attracted to the radical ideology. He needed a substitute father figure. His father had died. Enter Frank Marshall Davis, the same ideology. That's his comfort zone. When you're criticizing and attacking in America, attacking the Constitution, attacking white people, that's Obama's comfort zone. That's what he believes in, and that's why he associates himself with anti-American radicals. That's why he's comfortable with Raul Castro or, you know, any of these radicals that he likes to pal around the world. They're kindred spirits.
And it's almost like if Barack were able to spend some time with just Americans, he would almost soften on this and maybe become more, I don't know if I want to say the word mainstream, but more realistic in his outlook. It's almost as if they got to keep him in these circles to make sure that the rhetoric continues. And I hate to say this, but it's almost like some type of cult in a way to keep that hatred, to keep that agenda and those fires burning for that agenda, huh?
Well, when you have an experience in your youth that you're doing a lot of drugs and you spend 9 years of your youth listening to an anti-American radical spew his hatred, communism, anti-white ideology, it's something that grows on people. Just like I mentioned David Axelrod, both his parents were Communist Party members. He grew up in a communist household. Once you have that indoctrination in your youth, you don't suddenly, even if you show up suddenly, understand or appreciate America. It's something that sticks with people. All the leaders of the Weather Underground, the Marxist terrorist groups, the SDS in the 60s, their parents were Communist Party members. So it's kind of like, we call it hand-me-down Marxism, or the term red diaper baby. The children of communists usually become hardcore communists.
Now, this red diaper baby idea, I'm very familiar with it. In fact, a lot of those people have taken their agenda to the conservative side of the equation. Many of them have gone to the Black Panthers or have gone to Acorn or some of those places, but several of them have ended up hanging out with very well-known conservatives too. The narrative is that they grew up kind of a red diaper baby, but over time they kind of saw the light and came to the truth. I question their stories, but they infiltrate the conservative side as well, and I wonder if that has something to do with the media's bout face on these issues.
I don't see that. I think there are famous conservatives who started out in radical families, like David Horowitz from the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He wrote a book called Radical Son, explaining how he grew up in a communist household. He became a writer for Ramparts Magazine, which was the leftist magazine, and in San Francisco. And then the Black Panthers, who he was supporting, murdered his secretary. And he got a revelation that all this Marxism, communism, anti-American stuff is a death cult. And he had a revelation, and he came back to the real world and became one of the leading conservative voices over the years. So there are a few cases like that. And those people are actually very helpful because they can explain the ideology and the pathology, the destructive passion of the left to the rest of us because they've lived it.
What does a guy like Horowitz say about Barack Obama and his upbringing and such?
Exactly what I say. He's a good friend of mine. I go to a lot of his events in Los Angeles, and he, if you read his writings, any of his books, he wrote something called, a series called The Black Book of the American Left.
Hold on, stay right there. The Black Book of the American Left, we'll get to that in just a second. David Horowitz, we're discussing Joel Gilbert, Dreams from My Real Father, the name of the film, obamasrealfather.com.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
It's very hard, ladies and gentlemen, to trust people who grew up as red diaper babies and then they become conservative David Horowitz and others among that group. But Joel Gilbert, our guest right now, who's the film director for Dreams from My Real Father. Well-known filmmaker, documentary is incredible. Joel Gilbert created the film Dream for My Real Father. Obamasrealfather.com, the website to learn more, to see the photos, to find some of the evidence, etc., that Joel brings out in the film and to get the film. Obamasrealfather.com, Dreams for My Real Father. So, Joel, you're saying, hey, these guys do change, and David Horowitz is one of them, and their knowledge can provide incredible insights into this world that most Americans know nothing about, huh?
Correct. They have the website frontpagemag.com, and every day they publish articles. They even have a website called Discover the Networks, where they show the relationship between the Communist Party members in the 1940s that were Stalinists, how they helped create and were parents of all the 60s radicals who were advocating the overthrow of the U.S. government. Bill Ayers and his gang were advocating putting 25 million Americans in education centers, re-education centers, just like in China. They worshipped Chairman Mao, even though he had murdered 50 million of his own people. And they were trying to overthrow the government and divide the United States into four sections to be occupied by North Vietnam, Korea, Soviet Union, and China. Their goal was to destroy the United States. And these same people, they show in Discover the Networks, went into education and educated people and took positions in government. Bernie Sanders was a 60s radical, part of the radical communist movement that wanted to overthrow the United States, reinvented himself as a socialist, and then lately in the last few years, now he's in the Democrat Party, which makes sense because the Democrat Party has become a radical socialist party. Most Democrats, old school Democrats, liberals, don't really realize that the party has been co-opted by radicals, and that's what we see today.
And they are bringing forward valid documentation by tying the groups together, by tying who's who, and how that history kind of comes forward from the 30s and the 40s.
Absolutely. Look, Obama's father was a Communist Party member in 1932, joined the Communist Party. This is the father of the President of the United States, was a Stalinist, was a Soviet agent, was under investigation by the FBI, and he radicalized Obama, and now the man's in the White House. It all ties together.
All right. Now, you mentioned this Red Book piece right before the pause. I wanted to get back to that.
Yeah. Well, David Horowitz created the Black Book of
the Black Book,
that shows who's who, the connection between Valerie Jarrett, her mother, Bowman, her father-in-law, Vernon Jarrett, who was a colleague of Obama's father on the Chicago Defender, Chicago Star, these communist newspapers. The communist movement never really goes away. It just goes in waves where it's there's a lot of communists before World War II. They would parade down, Fifth Avenue, Madison Square Garden. The Communist Party was very strong. During World War II, when Stalin joined with Hitler, it went down a little bit. Then it came back up in the 60s, masquerading as an anti-war movement. Then they got exposed as simply anti-American terrorists. They went into the underground in the 70s. They came back in the 80s as educators, and on and on. So the American communist movement set their sights on the Democrat Party in the 60s, and they were able to penetrate and infiltrate and take it over. And I think today we have a radical party on the Democrat side where they emulate communist party systems. There's no opposition with them in the Democrat Party. The leader of the party, Barack Obama, is God on earth. They do not criticize him. They endorse everything he proposes 100%. It's a real central committee type of communist organization, and it's been taken over, and people don't really realize it.
How about the battle with, say, Vladimir Putin and some of these other people? Is that just kind of soap opera stuff?
Vladimir Putin and who?
And Barack.
Look, the first thing Obama did when he came into office was to appease Putin, appease the Russians by removing missile defense systems from Eastern Europe. So Obama came into office trying to appease, gain favor with, and endorsing the Russian agenda for United States defense. It was a very dangerous way to start his presidency. And if you look at the geopolitical goals of Russia throughout the years, Cold War and even today, was to gain influence in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and dominate that region of the world. President Obama came into office, and he essentially withdrew America's power and influence around the world, creating a vacuum to allow the Soviet Union and, in the Far East, China, to take over and exert their influence. The United States was drawn into two world wars in the last century because of dictators and radical governments in Japan and Germany taking over and influencing large swaths of the earth. After World War II, we decided America will remain involved and engaged throughout the world so that we don't have to go and fight a war. Obama removing American power from so many centers around the world has contributed to a reoccurrence of radical regimes exerting their influence. The problem is the United States cannot exist between two oceans as a lone democracy. We need strong Democrat allies around the world, like strong democratic Western Europe, Israel, Australia, and Japan. If those allies of ours are under threat or influence of Russia and China, then we're less safe at home. The Russians realized during the Cold War that America could not be defeated militarily, and that's why they set their sights on penetrating and infiltrating the United States political system, which they viewed as vulnerable and open, through fomenting the Communist Party in America.
Now, they've been doing this for a long time, as you mentioned, from the Frank Marshall early days forward. In fact, in the 60s, it was quite well known. The John Birch Society tried to expose a lot of it, and the media got brought to bear against the JBS and absolutely trashed them. Even the FBI and others almost helped with a lot of that stuff. The truth eventually came out, but most folks missed it. Ezra Taft Benson, who happened to be the Secretary of Agriculture under Eisenhower, was asked by the president at the time, Eisenhower, to go ahead and host some of these communist leaders. And they basically said that they planned to, they mocked America, even directly to the Secretary of Agriculture at the time, and said, you know what, we plan to spoon feed you full of socialism one little teeny bit at a time, and one day you'll fall over like ripe fruit, was kind of the comment, basically saying they were going to take over America. And Ezra Taft Benson relates the story and says, over my dead body. The truth is, though, that became very prophetic by the Russian communist leaders.
Well, Khrushchev said in the 60s, Khrushchev said, one day your children will be communists. You cannot win. And, you know, if you look at how Barack Obama came to office and what he's doing in office, he's working toward the defeat of American power and the American way of life.
What would you say is the next step to expose Barack Obama, to let Americans know the truth, and to actually do something about it?
Well, the media is very powerful. If they chose to cover the story, I made the point at the National Press Club 2 years ago. I was speaking to a number of journalists. The Washington Post was there. And I reminded them of the journalist's creed, their responsibility to tell the truth unbiased. And I told them, look, anybody sitting in this building, the National Press Club, you can win the Pulitzer Prize if you just watch my movie and write an article and investigate Obama's background and expose it. They said the Pulitzer Prize can be yours. And none of them took me up on it. So the media could solve this problem if they would tell the truth. But they're a partisan group of liars. They wake up every day and say, instead of saying, how can I report the news to let people decide, they wake up and say, how can I trick my audience to believe something that's not true? And that sorry state of affairs has opened the door for these radicals like Obama to take office.
Joel Gilbert, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, obamasrealfather.com, Dreams from My Real Father, the film. Hang tight. This interview ain't over. Liberty Roundtable live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Joel Gilbert, well-known film director, our guest, dreams from my real father, Obama's realfather.com, the website. So, Joel, before we continue with the interview really quick, can people get these DVDs wholesale? And maybe we just have to have a massive American share the word by word of mouth and giving and getting and CDs to each other, and maybe we can somehow circumvent the mainstream press, huh?
Well, that's what we tried to do, and it's still ongoing. You can go to obamasrealfather.com for the Dreams from My Real Father movie. My latest film came out just last December. It's called There's No Place Like Utopia, and that's at there'snoplacelikeutopia.com. And that's kind of like a Michael Moore style of movie, because I run around the country to Southside Chicago, Detroit, Newark, and I talk to these people who've been living in these progressive cities controlled by Democrats and Marxists for the last 50, 60 years, and we discover that all this time no one has been progressing, they've all been regressing. And we take a kind of a humorous but hard-hitting look at the reality of life in urban America, where Democrats have destroyed these great cities.
All right, what about Barack's life in Chicago? He somehow meets Michelle. Many people have said, and WorldNet Daily even documented, that, hey, it was kind of a sham marriage for an agenda. How much does Michelle know? Is Barack really a gay man, like many researchers claim, etc.? How does all that fit in?
Okay, well, what I have in my film, which I think is very important to understand, that Bernadine Dorn, who was the one of the leaders, along with Bill Ayers, of the terrorist group Weather Underground. She was served time in jail for related to a murder of three policemen up in New York, and she was alleged to have personally placed a bomb that killed a San Francisco policeman named Brian McDonough in 1969 by Larry Grathwall, on and on. So Bernadine Dorn, because she was a convicted felon, could not get a law degree, but she was hired by the law firm Sidley Austin in an administrative position in Chicago. Michelle Obama, then her name was Michelle Robinson, worked with Bernadine Dorn at Sidley Austin. Lo and behold, Barack Obama comes into town as a new young lawyer, and he's hired at Sidley Austin. I wonder how Barack Obama found that law firm. It was obviously through Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who were married. And that's where Bernadine Dorn hooked Obama up with Michelle Obama, Michelle Robinson. So all these people always are together. So Michelle Obama, really for Barack, was instant street cred. Obama, remember, was half white, biracial individual. He's from Hawaii. He's not really considered by the black people in Chicago to be one of them. So Michelle gave him instant street cred because her father worked for the Democrat Party. He was one of these precinct captains, and she was an anti-American herself. And this was a perfect political marriage. Now, on the personal level, we really don't know if there was what the relationship is. It appears to be, from the outside, it doesn't appear to be a very close relationship. There's documented instances of where Chris Anderson, his biographer, in a book called Barack and Michelle, documented that divorce papers were written up at one time, and they had a lot of issues, and they're not very, very close. So it does reek of a political marriage.
All right, there you go. What about this gay agenda? WorldNet Daily documents a lot that, you know what, Barack is a gay man, adding to that idea of a sham marriage.
Well, when I've looked very carefully at Obama's history. It's not something I investigated, but over and over, you see Obama's strange relationships with long-term relationships with men like Reggie Love, the so-called body man bodyguard. I see that the girlfriends that he claimed that he had never existed. You see that you don't have any girlfriends coming forward and saying, I dated Barack. If you look at Barack always was a roommate with other gay men. So you just have to wonder what the sexuality is, especially in light of, whatever his sexuality is, that's up to him. But
the reason that I bring it up, because the hardcore push to force us all to go along with the gay and lesbian agenda on his watch. That's
exactly
the reason.
So to get elected, he said marriage is between a man and a woman and God. It's a sacred thing. And then you don't really believe that all your life and say, as a Christian, this is what I believe. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, I changed my mind, and now I'm going to push an LBTG ABC agenda to make transgender part of the military. It's a radical agenda that a person would not pursue if Obama was telling the truth about his own background.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What about this situation with Barack Obama being tied to the ACORN organization? And at some point, it kind of even might relate to some of these violent groups like Louis Farrakhan, some of these other things. How deep is it really in terms of the violent side?
Well, Obama admired and spent years with Bill Ayers as his mentor. Bill Ayers of the Terrorist Weather Underground engaged in violent activities. He bombed the Pentagon. He bombed the Capitol. They murdered policemen, the Weather Underground did. So this is somebody that Obama hangs around with. This is somebody that ghost wrote Obama's book, Dreams from My Father, was ghost written by Bill Ayers. So you got to assume that Obama is comfortable with people committing violence. When you look at the Black Lives Matter and their calls for murder of policemen, the actual murder of policemen, Obama invited them to the White House. He told them, we're going to, see this through, stay the course. So Obama's a professional agitator. Professional agitators advocate for extreme behavior in order to get attention and divide and conquer. Obama was not only affiliated with ACORN, he was a trainer for ACORN for 10 years in Chicago. He represented ACORN when he became a lawyer. He lied about it in the election when he was asked about it in 2008. He claimed he only represented ACORN in a motor voter lawsuit against the state of Illinois. By the way, 9 of the 18 9/11 hijackers were registered to vote under motor voter. But Obama lied about it because he did not tell the truth. When asked, he also represented ACORN when they sued Citibank to force Citibank to lend money to minorities who could not afford to pay it back. This was an effort by ACORN. It all started in Chicago to undermine the U.S. financial system. The subprime mortgage crisis started in Chicago, and it was started by Barack Obama representing ACORN and forcing Citibank under threat of a lawsuit to change their policies. So what happened was Obama was successful in doing that. Citibank starts lending to minorities who can't afford to pay, And then Acorn took that policy to Henry Cisneros in the Clinton administration, was the HUD secretary, and they convinced him, who convinced Bill Clinton, to force Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to lower their lending standards to lend to minorities, even if they couldn't afford it. That's what started the subprime mortgage crisis. Obama was in on it from the ground floor, and it was an attempt to undermine the U.S. financial system. So 2008 comes around, the economy's in bad shape, subprime mortgage crisis. Obama blames Bush, and Bush and the media were not smart enough to look this up and realize that it was really started by Obama and his socialist thugs out of Chicago.
How does this relate to the 2016 presidency then? Is Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton involved with Barack? On one hand, some people say they're the ones that started this birther movement, maybe to point people off track, huh?
Well, the main thing you need to understand is that Hillary is from Chicago. She studied with Saul Alinsky, the radical organizer who wrote the book Rules for Radicals. Obama studied under this concept of how to manipulate people. The whole concept of change by Alinsky, change, the definition of change, which Obama didn't define, is the revolution to end capitalism. Hillary wrote her thesis on Saul Alinsky. She was friends with Saul Alinsky. She's from that Chicago kind of Marxist socialist background. They have common background in this area. They're both radicals. So that's the main thing you need to remember and understand about Hillary, that her and Obama are fellow travelers. They're everything for them is about the revolution, and Bill Clinton is not significant in this situation. Obama helped further the revolution, and Hillary intends to bring it to its conclusion.
How about this situation with Black Lives Matter, with the killing of cops? Do you think Barack's directly involved in this agitation? Or do you think that he's just kind of sitting back and allowing it to occur? Him inviting the Black Lives Matter people to the White House is quite telling. The question is, how involved do you think his hands really are?
Well, you got to start with remembering that Barack Obama's mentor, Bill Ayers, Bernardine Dorn, Black Panthers, what were they doing in the late 60s, early 70s? They were murdering policemen. They were calling for the murder of cops. These are Obama's friends and mentors. So here we have it come around where Black Lives Matter agitates situations that were not resolved, and Obama jumped in on it. Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, he could be my son.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Gilbert with us. Joel Gilbert interviews Malik Obama, the supposed half-brother, in seconds.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we're talking to Joel Gilbert, ladies and gentlemen, well-known film director. There's no place like Utopia.com is his next film. We're talking about the films that Joel's put together documenting Brock's life and then really how it relates to what's happening in the matrix of America today. It's crazy, and his influence has been off the charts. Most people just think he's an irritant. Oh, man, we don't like him. He's goofy, but whatever. They don't realize how much Yes We Can Change Brock's really brought to the table. With those surrounding him, he's had this kind of a cloak of immunity or anonymity, whatever you want to call it, to get this done. And most people haven't really realized who Barack is, but I think history will show in time really the turn towards communism that America has taken under his, quote, tutelage or leadership or whatever you want to use. You had a chance, and I want to learn how this came about. You had a chance to interview Malik Obama, the supposed half-brother of Barack, right?
Correct. Barack made a big deal about Malik in his book, Dreams for My Father. Malik was the best man at his wedding. He was the best man at Malik's wedding. They hung out in Chicago when Obama was a community organizer. Obama goes to Kenya a couple times. This is his main Kenyan relative, Malik Obama. And I reached out to Malik. I found his phone number, believe it or not, about a year or so ago. Just called him up and I said, introduced myself and I said, look, I made a movie that I think explains that Barack Obama is not your real brother. And I said, what's the relationship like? He said, well, we used to be very close, but after he became president, he doesn't want anything to do with me or the Kenyan Obamas anymore. He said, he used to talk about us a lot, but you don't hear that anymore, do you? I said, no. So I offered to send him my DVD and he accepted, sent it to Kenya by FedEx. And we began a dialogue, and he agreed to do that interview. And you can see that interview on the website. And in the interview, he said that, look, he saw the movie, and he thinks this explains why Barack was so cold and ruthless in being very friendly to the Kenyan Obamas and then just dropped them and doesn't want anything to do with them. He also said he thinks Barack looks just like Frank Marshall Davis and nothing like his father. And he wants a DNA test because he thinks Obama is a complete fraud.
Oh, wow. That really adds a lot to the mix here, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the things that came out in the interview that I find really telling is that Obama's family in Kenya is really a sham. And the reason I say that is they're very poor now. They really struggle. They've got poverty. And really, Barack, if he was really family, would do something for them. He could do it without even blinking an eye, sir. But nothing's being done. Isn't that almost one of the most damning pieces of evidence that we have?
Well, not only that, it's not that they're looking to receive money. He just won't even take their phone calls, won't have anything to do with them. The Aunt Zaituni, the famous illegal alien aunt in Boston, for example, Obama also was close to her. She babysat his kids in Chicago. He lied about it and denied he hadn't seen her for 30 years when she was exposed. She died in Boston, and Malik came to fetch her body back, and he asked Barack to give him some money. They needed $20,000 to send the body back and arrange funeral arrangements, and Barack said to Malik, I'm not Bill Gates. and, you know, I don't have any money. And Malik was shocked, so he just had to go raise the money online to take her body back to Kenya. So it's not that they need money, they just need support and friendship. They don't understand why he dropped them like a lead balloon, and Malik agrees that my film explains it. Malik said that the way he's treated Americans politically, that he deceived us. He said he was going to cut the deficit in half, marriages between a man and a woman. He said he's treated the Kenyan family personally with deception, because he claimed to be a relative, was very friendly and warm for years, and then completely dropped them, about face.
Malik states that Barack is deceptive and has not been an honest man. And I don't really mean that Barack should just hand them boatloads of money so they can live high on the hog and get rich. But I'm talking about, if you really care about the Kenyan people and you really have family there, you would maybe start a foundation or maybe do something to build infrastructure in the country and the region. There's things that you would do with education. It's just shocking.
Well, they do have, Malik has a foundation for his father that he set up in Kenya. And, you know, Barack didn't contribute.
That's my whole point.
The money. It's really, if you look at the interview, Malik is in a lot of pain because he just cannot understand how someone claimed to be a close relative and wants nothing to do with another person anymore. That's what it's about. And look, you know, on the YouTube channel where the video is shown, on my YouTube channel, you see a comment. A guy said, Malik, we feel your pain. We know what it's like when somebody completely throws us through the voters under the bus and acted like he never said any of the things he promised. Obamacare is not a tax. You can keep your doctor. Everything about Obama has been a lie, and the Kenyan Obamas are feeling it on a personal level, what we felt politically.
All right. As you've done your research and as you've really drilled into this and put together the film and have done everything that you've done over the last several years, what would you say would be the most damning piece of evidence you've discovered that you just go, you know what, wow, everything's over the top, but this takes the cake?
You know, there's just so much evidence. There's a mountain of evidence that Frank Marshall Davis is the biological father, which I put together in the film. There's so many pieces of evidence. Some of the biggest evidence comes from Barack's own book. He claimed that his family broke up when the Kenyan went to Harvard when he was 3 years old. That's a complete lie. I got a transcript from the University of Washington in Seattle that shows his mother was enrolled at the university in Seattle when he was 2 weeks old. So there was no Obama family. Obama's story being a complete lie, we say, well, what could be true? And I've put together a mountain of evidence in my film that Frank Marshall Davis is the biological father, but more importantly, became his radical communist ideology mentor that Obama has hidden all the way to the White House.
It's startling because he really controls the most powerful nation in the world, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, with executive decrees, he has eliminated our immigration laws. He's accepting refugees that we don't need or want. He's going around Congress to approve a deal with the Ayatollah. He's going to continue, I think, for the next year and more till he's out of office to try to harm American traditional society, whether it's forcing gay marriage, attacking religious liberty, collapsing our borders, collapsing our financial system, collapsing our security. America remains in grave danger as long as Obama is in office, in my opinion.
So really, we could say, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, so you can distance yourself from this if you like, but I think it needs to be said, Barack basically is a terrorist.
Look, I wouldn't say that. I would say that he's part of a radical left ideology of communism and Marxism that believes that private property should all be owned by the government, that the government should control everybody, should control money, should assign income, and it believes that government control can create a utopia on Earth. This is their ideology.
At the same time, though, he's sworn to obey and uphold the Constitution.
I think he was laughing when he said that, if you look back at the...
I know. And there was multiple takes of that to find out if there was really a genuine one, etc. I mean, it goes on and on of the deception and manipulation. I'm just saying at some point, though, you know, people should be arrested for behavior that against the supreme law of the land, which you swore to uphold. At some point, there should be accountability there.
Well, they should have opened up impeachment hearings years ago based on a number of things, and the Republicans never moved them forward. Anything from his phony documentation to his not enforcing the laws on the books, like the Defense of Marriage Act, his executive orders to usurp the laws of the United States, on and on. Obama could be easily impeached with a with an impeachment hearing of impartial observers.
All right. Do you think we'll ever get the DNA test we want?
Look, I don't think it's that important at this point. I think what's important is we have the narrative, I think, in my film. To get a DNA test, you know, Malik would have to convince Obama to do it. He'd have to do it voluntarily. But even if there was a DNA test and it showed, you know, obviously Frank Marshall Davis is the real father, Obama would put out a statement, oh, my goodness, I'm so surprised to hear this. You know, he'll say, you could have knocked me down with a feather when I read that. So, you know, he'll just deny it. And the press will say, oh, you know, poor Barack.
The only way to really have accountability and have this completely come to reality and get the facts would be if the press had the guts to take it on.
Exactly. The media is corrupt and complicit in all of this. Without the press, Obama never could have, you know, become elected to Senate, let alone president.
I always give speeches around the country. He who owns the media makes the rules, and I stand by that statement. Joel Gilbert, is there anything left you'd like to tell the American people? We're about out of time, but if you could say anything to America, what would you say?
I would say, please go to obamasrealfather.com, and there's no place like utopia.com. Buy as many DVDs as you can and spread them around.
Hopefully you've got a bulk if people want to buy hundreds of them, that there's a way to get that done too, right?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend, Godspeed. Thank you so much. And I am only a small factor in the media, but I'm bigger than most people think. And I would say this, if we can do anything to help my friend, keep us posted.
All right, thanks for having me today.
There you go. Joel Gilbert, ladies and gentlemen. Dreams from my real father. Is anybody willing to take on Joel and debate the evidence in a public forum? Maybe we got to go to the press club and get that done, huh? Oh, we already tried that. Even the mainstream press won't pay attention there, will they? I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, he who owns the media makes the rules. He who owns the mainstream press currently makes the rules. But the new media is taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen. We intend to give them a run for their money at every turn. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com. Share this interview with everybody you know. Go to Obamasrealfather.com and share the DVDs. This nation shall endure.